So here's my question. Has someone offended you in the last week? Offended you? Has anybody? If you've been offended in the last week, raise your hand. Somebody's offended you. The last month? Has somebody offended you in the last month? So far this year, has somebody offended you? Have you ever been offended in your life? Raise your hands. I want to talk to you today about offense, and I want to specifically talk to you about how much it will cost you to keep that offense. The Bible's clear. It says offenses will come. But the Bible is also very clear in how we are to react to those offenses. We all go through things. We all go through things that aren't fair. People do us wrong. We don't get the promotion. People disappoint us. People hurt us. Life can sometimes be tough. And there are things that are happening to our life and happen to our life that we have no control over. But we do have control on how we react to those things. We're living in a time where there are so many people that are offended. And the sad thing about that is they feel that they have the right to be offended. And the offended become the self-righteous. In other words, we live in a time where it's even become a noble thing to become a victim. And the victims villainize the offenders. I'm not suggesting that there is not real victims that deserve compassion and even our protection, because there certainly are. But what I am saying is that if we allow ourselves to be offended, we are going down a road that we will soon regret. That's right. Listen to me very carefully. Offense not resolved becomes anger. And anger becomes bitterness. And bitterness becomes misery. Our obligation is to be full of cheer, full of compassion, full of forgiveness. Quick to let things go, quick to give people the benefit of the doubt. Amen. How many recognize we live in such a charged society where people are so quick to be offended? And what concerns me is that willingness to be offended has entered into the church and entered into our mentality. It's an attitude. It's a lifestyle. And if you partake in that lifestyle, listen to me very carefully. I'm not saying that there's not things that happen that are not right. I'm not saying that. What I want to preach to you and what I want to show you is just how much it will eventually cost you if you keep that right to be offended. It'll cost you dearly. And my premise is to show you through the Word of God that there's also this freedom that we have as Christians that is even our responsibility to let things go. And to give people the benefit of the doubt and not have this bitterness that will attach itself, listen to me, will attach itself to you if you're not willing to let go of that offense. I've got I've got three quick points, and then I've got some solutions that I want to teach you. Offense is harmful and it's addictive. It's harmful and it's addictive. Hebrews chapter 12, starting with verse 11, look what it says. Now, no chastisement seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. How many know sometimes the truth hurts? But if you're willing to learn from it, if you're willing to be corrected, who's willing to be corrected in the house today? You know, did you come to church or did you come to change? Because a lot of people come to church, but there's this mentality of, I've got it all together, I know what's going on, and let me tell you what, for those people, you'll leave, you know what, harder than you were when you came in. And what I want to say is this passage, and it's interesting because the passage that I want to get to is verse 15. But as I read this, I thought, you know what, I cannot show them verse 15 without showing them everything that Paul says before this, because it works up into it. Listen, if you want to hold on to your offense, you can hold on to your offense. And you can talk about how justified you are because of what they did. Listen, I won't argue with you of what they did. I'll just say from the Word of God, you know what? It doesn't seem joyful at first. But what I'm telling you is afterwards. How many know Satan won't tell you how much sin costs? He's deceptive. Satan is the one that came up with 48 easy payments of $39.86. Like you don't have a calculator. But people think that, oh, this is cheap. It's just 49 payments of, I can afford that. And if they added it all together, if they just got their calculator out and saw how much that would cost them, they'd look and go, there's no way it's worth that. But it's deceptive. I worked in the grocery store, and for years, the prices were very clear. You know what? It was, you know what, one yogurt for 43 cents. It was very clear. But in the course of time, I started noticing this marketing, and I knew exactly what it was about. They wouldn't say one yogurt for 43 cents. They'd say eight yogurts for $5.39. It's just a subtle way of making sure you don't really know how much the yogurt is. That you don't know what the price. It's a way that they can mark up the price and you are too busy to pay attention and you're just going to buy eight yogurts. You have no idea that you're almost paying now a buck a yogurt. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's how Satan is. And what I'm telling you is, guys, there's got to be a willingness to be corrected. But if you will be willing to be corrected in this area, let me tell you what, you're going to leave way better than you came in. Way better than you came in. Now, no chastisement seems to be joyful. Seems. It is, but it doesn't seem like it at first. Joyful in the present. After, you're going to see it. But painful, nevertheless. Afterward, it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Guys, go to the next verse. It won't let me go. Is that 12? And make straight paths for your feet so that the lame may be dislocated, but rather be healed. Straighten it up. Look at the next verse. Pursue peace with all people. See, listen, this is going to relate to to exactly where I'm going. Pursue peace. Somebody say peace. And notice it says pursue it. It indicates there's got to be effort for you to pursue peace. To who? Watch. With all people. What, you know what all people includes? These people that are offending you. How many know these people that are offending you, you know what? They probably have some good traits too. Oh, I mean, you miss a good chance to say amen. Like, I ain't seen him like that. See, that's how we get. We get like, you know what? No, I hate the Bruins. Are you kidding me? You hate the Bruins? It's interesting because I'll root for a certain team, but I've got kind of a backup that I always play. And it's a backup, but it really is true. It's really a maturity that I've come. I'll root for a team, but if my team loses, you know what I think? I think, you know what? There's probably some really strong Christians on the other team. So what is that? It just makes me glad that they won. I'm thinking like, yeah, well, it's no big deal. I'm glad they won. Come on, Bruin fans, say amen to this. How many know there are some strong Christians on the Trojans? Come on, Bruins fans, say amen to this. Do I need to go back to the first verse that talks about, you know what, afterwards it's going to bring this peaceful? No, see, that's how we are. We get so entrenched in, you know what, thinking, no, pursue peace with all people. And there's people that are offensive to you, but the truth is they also have some good traits. And holiness, without which no one, I'm telling you right away, my message is going to jack up your theology. But listen to me very carefully. Listen to me very carefully. Pay attention to the passages that I'm going to use. Because let me tell you, let me fill you in. When the scripture messes up your theology, you know why it messes up your theology? Because your theology is wrong. I'm going to show you a passage that Jesus taught. And ultimately, this is all, how many know this is all Jesus' words? All the word is inspired by the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. But I'm going to show you a teaching from Jesus, and it's really going to mess your theology. This will mess up your theology. With which no one can see the Lord. God is insisting that you pursue peace with all men. Watch this next verse. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, cause trouble. One version says causing trouble. And by this many become defiled. By what? By this willingness to be offended. This willingness, because here's what happens. Your willingness to keep a hold of something that has offended you is going to cause this bitterness to go down in your heart. How many know many times things get rotted from the inside out? So what is my point? Here's my point. My point is, offense is harmful and addictive. If you are not willing to let things go, to let people who have offended you, to let them off the hook. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, let them off the hook. See, notice my argument, even though we live in a hypersensitive society, my argument isn't that they didn't offend you. My argument isn't even that what they did wasn't offensive. My argument is that it's just going to cost you too much to keep a hold of that offense. Is it going to cost you too much? What does the Bible say? Look back at that verse, that 15th verse, guys in the back. Go back to the verse 15. Look what it says. that root of bitterness springing up caused trouble. It will spring up. It is below the surface at first. But you have allowed, you know what, a old boyfriend. You have allowed an old girlfriend. You have allowed your husband that divorced you. You have not let it go. You have kept a hold of that. That you have allowed something that your parents said to you that was wrong. I'm not saying it wasn't wrong, but you've allowed that. You allowed that person, that business that didn't give you that promotion. You allowed that. You kept a hold of it, and you thought, I can keep a hold of this, and it's going to be okay. I have, in matter of fact, and the society has come in with you and said, yeah, you have that right. I'm saying, well, you can do what you want to do. God allows you to do what you want to do, but he also tells you the truth to say what's going to happen is eventually that root of bitterness is going to spring up. And it's going to affect, you know what, later on, you know what, years later, you're going to remarry. You know what? You're going to get married for the first time. That old boyfriend, old girlfriend jaked you. And you're going to think, oh, this is great. This is great. And then all of a sudden, it's going to spring up. And it's going to cause harm in the marriage that you're in right now. And here's the odd thing. Here's the odd thing. You know who you're going to think whose fault it is? Oh, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. You know whose fault you're going to think it is? You're going to think it's your spouse's fault. One version says, I like what one version says. It says, causing trouble. It's going to cause you trouble. Another version says, produces vines, produces these roots of bitterness, produce vines that will harm you. Well, but Pastor, I didn't do it. It was, I know you didn't do it. But here's what you do need to do. You're the one who's responsible to take down those vines and tear them up. See, God says you're responsible of it. And here's what I want you to understand. It's going to cause you harm, number one. And two, I want you to understand how addictive it is. Remember the old Lay's potato chip commercial? What did it say? What did it say? You can't just eat one chip. How many know that's absolutely true? How many know you never, ever, ever have gone to a Lay's, bag of potato chips and eat one and said, oh, man, that was good, and walked away? No, you don't do that. Can I tell you what? That's how bitterness is. That's how offense is. Listen to me. It's addictive. And next thing you know, first you're mad at this person, next person you're mad at that person, and next thing you know, in a course of time, watch this. You know what God hates more than anything else? He hates self-righteousness. And the next thing you are the one walking around, and here's what you are. You're like, shh, ha. That's how you are. That's how you are. Everyone offends you. Everyone ticks you. You can't even drive. No, really, really. You can't even drive from your home to your work with many, many, many people irritating you. So, Pastor, I don't understand. Why did you give us those cards? What are those cards about? Here's what those cards are about. Here's what I want you to do. I want you, how many can do two things at the same time? So I want you to listen what I'm saying through this preaching, but I want you, and do me a favor, keep your eyes on your own paper, okay? But here's what I want you to do. I want you to start writing down things that have offended you. I'm not talking about things that have offended you and you let those go. I'm talking about things that have offended you and you haven't let those go. And do me a favor. Allow the Holy Spirit to really minister to you. I'm telling you what. How many know the presence of the Holy Spirit is here in this place? And there's going to be things. I'm going to be preaching, and you're going to be thinking, oh, my goodness. And he's going to say, write that down. And you're going to think, come on, is somebody here today? And you're going to think, no, I ain't going to write that down. No. Write it down. Did you come to change, or did you come to church? Then write it down. Allow the Holy Spirit. How many want to leave differently than you came today? Yes. Write it down. That offense is just like, you know what? That bitterness does? It affects your heart. The Bible says, protect your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Flow really what you're going to be able to do. And so you've become embittered. It's infected your marriage. It's affected your relationship with your kids. It's affected your career. Like, man, I don't understand why I can't get promoted. I do, because you have because you're so toxic. Amen. Number one, offense is harmful and it's addictive. Number two, offense brings victims. It brings victims. Look what what that passage in 15 said. Guys, go back to 15. What the passage in 15 said. Look at the end. It says, and by this many become defiled. You become a victim. I like what one person said. You know what? They said, you can either become a victor or a victim, but you can't become both. And we have a society now that exalts victimhood. We're the victims. We're the victims, and you're the... Hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. The Bible says, live peacefully amongst yourself. Number two, offense brings victims. Number three, offense kills dreams. It kills dreams. Numbers chapter 13, starting with verse 28. Look what it says. Nevertheless, when the people who dwell in the land are strong, the 12 spies had just come back from seeing what God had promised. And two of them said, we can surely do this. But the 10, look what the 10 say. They say this, nevertheless, the people who dwell, nevertheless is, yes, yes, there's all kinds of blessings, all kinds of fruit. They saw how large the fruit was, how productive the ground was. They saw it all with their own eyes. But here's what they say, starting with verse 28. They say, nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Achan there. Come on. Guys, I don't know why this isn't going, so flow with me. Go to the next verse. 29. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell in the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. They're like, man, we got all these people. Listen, can I tell you what? Life, how many know there's people at Home Depot? How many know there's people at Lowe's? How many of those are there's people? How many know your life would be just great if you were just all by yourself? How many know that ain't gonna happen? You're not by yourself. There are gonna be all kinds of people in your life, over here and over there, all over the place, and they're all over. And these guys are saying, no, that's the problem. And Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Next verse. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people. Listen to the words. we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Watch this next verse. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies in the land is devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Enoch came from the giants, and we were, watch this, and we were like grasshoppers, is what I want you to catch, in our own sight. See, listen, when you become a victim, it is going to produce, when you hold that offense, it's going to produce something. You are going to become the victim. Not the victor, the victim. Watch this. They haven't even gone to war yet. And they've already lost. There's all kinds of people. And listen, the presence of the Holy Spirit is in your life. The Bible says that God pours out, you know what, that hope. That it says that that hope is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. I'll think about it in a minute. But hope, doesn't disappoint. Because the Holy Spirit is being poured out. The love of God is being poured out into your heart. That's who you are. And yet, when you take this victimhood, whatever it is, but Pastor, you don't understand my issue. You see what you just did? Hello, somebody. Hello. See, that what from the heart the mouth speaks, that is a victim speaking. But you don't understand my, no, you don't understand my God. Caleb is saying, no, we should not only do this, let's do this right away. Let's not procrastinate. We are going to become victors. We're going to go in that land. We're going to defeat our enemies. And we can surely do it. But that's not what they said. They said, let me tell you what. And it's very interesting because how many believe the Holy Spirit inspires this? The Holy Spirit inspires this. And he says, let me tell you what. They were not only grasshoppers in the sight of their enemies, but they were grasshoppers in their own sight. He said, I don't know what your parents said to you. What your boyfriend said to you. I don't know what your girlfriend said to you. I don't even know what maybe one of your what one of your spouses. No, I don't. I don't even know what your spouse said to you. Here's what I know. I know that if you're going to take that offense, you're going to become the victim. And in your mind, you're going to think, no, I'm justified. I can't own that business. I can't get out of debt. I can't have a good relationship. Listen, offense will sour relationships. It'll sour those relationships. It'll sour all the things that God wants you. It will, listen what it does. Offense is going to steal your dreams right from underneath you. Are you learning something? Are you learning something today? Look at number 14, starting with the first six. Guys, get ready to go to seven because, yeah, I don't know. Oh, there it goes. Okay, good. Praise the Lord. Numbers 14, verse 6. But Joshua and the son of Nun and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to the congregation and the children of Israel, saying, the land we we passed through to spy out is exceedingly good land. But watch what they also say. Watch what they also say. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Guys, go to the next verse. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said, watch this. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. All eyes up here. Are you kidding me? See, but let me tell you what. That victim mentality, that's exactly what it'll do. The very ones that are causing and bringing life to you and saying, well, you got that attitude. You'll get in there. You're like, what? Who are you to tell me? You don't understand what they did. Whoa, Jackson. You're completely out of line. They are completely out of line. And they're going to reject the very people that are speaking life and victory in their life. Listen, you want to be negative? You're going to be negative all day long, and misery loves company. You can get around all kind of people. They're all out there, and they'll say, you know what? Look what happened to you. Look what they did to you. God says, no. Don't look what they did to you. Look what I'm going to do to you. Greater is he that is inside me than he that's in the world. Who cares? But watch this. But you're going to allow them to keep you down. Why? Because you didn't bend over and pull up those roots of bitterness. And those roots are tangling themselves around you, and they're choking your marriage, and they're choking your business, and they're choking all the plans. They're going to choke even the direction of your kids. They're going to choke it. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in the meeting before the children of Israel. Here's where I want to get. Look at this next verse, verse 11. Look at this. This is so amazing. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? I said, there's a Greek word, and it's called homologeo, and it means to speak what God says. Can we not care about what the world says? And all, because let me tell you about the world. The world will justify. The world will be quick to tell you why you can be offended. And God says, no. What does God say? No, he says, let it go. Let it go. That's what God says. You didn't know God wrote that? God wrote that. He said, let it go. Now, let me quickly say, I didn't know he wrote that. He did. Let me quickly get you to some solutions. Number one, write this down. Number one, you say, Pastor, what do I do? Number one, ask for God's help. The Holy Spirit is called the helper. You say, you know, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. But then the Bible says, but then you ask and don't receive because you ask amiss. Can I tell you what's not asking amiss? To say, God, help me to forgive my husband who's offended me over and over and over again. God, help me to forgive, you know what, that teacher who said, you know what, I was just, you know, some teacher, Tamara shared this with y'all, some teacher when she was in junior high, you know what, told her, you know, she was just some gum-snapping teeny bopper. How dare somebody say that? But can you let it go? Can you let go of the hurts? Can you ask God, say, God, help me? How many know God will help you? When you start praying, God, help me to forgive people that I have held that offense. Oh, my goodness, that is so the will of God in your life. He'll get all over that prayer. Number one, ask for some help from God. Number two, watch this, let it go quickly. Somebody say quickly. Don't go over it and over it and over it and over it. Yeah. You know, sometimes it's like, oh, it really hurt. It really hurt. You know, and then you get into a friend. No, it really hurt. It really hurt. Oh, it really hurt. Did you know what they did? It really hurt. Oh, really, really. And you just keep on going over this. It's like, oh my goodness. And what happens is you are just forming this stronghold of bitterness, this stronghold of you think, let it go quickly. quickly. Let it go quickly. Remember this, number three, remember, you are not the judge. And remember the amount that God has forgiven you. Remember, you are not the judge. And remember the amount that God has forgiven you. So let me go over a couple more scriptures and then I'm done. Listen to me. But listen, this, because this is the icing on the cake. For many people, how many know the word of God is a light to our feet, a lamp into our path? The words are given to help you out. Let me give you a couple words in the word of God that's going to help you out immensely. The Bible says, don't let the sun set on your wrath. Matter of fact, turn to it real quick. Do I have it here? Guys in the back, turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. The Bible says, don't let the sun set up. Look what it says. Be angry and do not sin. Let me teach this. Can I teach this for a minute? Let me teach this. It doesn't, it is saying, yes, there's a time to be angry. Somebody has done something that wasn't right. There's even a righteous indignation that says, that was wrong. But even in the text, it's very clear to say, listen, be angry, but do not sin. Now it's going to talk about very specifically where the anger comes into sin. The anger comes into sin in you keeping a hold of that. How many like to be forgiven? How many like people that, you know what, they hold a grudge against you? They're like, man, no, tell me. In 1973, at 4 o'clock, you did this. You're like, are you kidding me? How many like people like that? See, that's where, watch this, that's where the anger turns into a sin, by you keeping a hold of it. I was like, okay, fine. You know, you ever been driving with your spouse? I know nobody can relate to this. And your spouse looking out the window. What is that? Let me tell you what that is. Let me tell you. Look at your neighbor and say, Pastor loves us. Let me tell you what that is. Let me tell you what that is. That is sin. No, it's not. The sun's still up. I think you missed the point. No, really. You missed the point. This is not saying you got 4 more hours to be ticked at your spouse. That's not what it's saying. It's saying get rid of it. Because here's why. Because that seed is going to take root. And next thing you know what? You're going to be waking up and your husband or your wife is going to do something silly and something that is like just relatively dumb. Watch this to me. And you're going to hate them for it. You're going to hate them for it. Whoa, wait a minute. You know, she forgot to set the alarm. How many know this is not a big deal, guys? Well, how come it's a big deal? How come you hate her for that? Here's why. It's not setting the alarm. It's the bitterness. It's what you kept and what you kept and what you kept and what you kept. And you are, I'm smiling. Am I smiling still? And you are, you put the ugh in ugly today. I mean, you are ugly. And a third party would look, if they were there, they'd look and go, what is their problem? I mean, yeah, she did that, but that wasn't that big of a deal. What happened? You forgot to see the revelation knowledge in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, that says, you can't, you listen, you can't do this. Here, let me give you another one that's very helpful. Luke chapter 17, guys in the back, Luke chapter 17. And look at verse 4. Did you come to change or did you come to church? And if he sins against you seven times in a day, somebody say seven times in a day. See, listen, what is going to run your life? Is the word going to run your life or are you going to run your life? Who is the judge? Are you the judge or is God the judge? James says there's only one lawgiver, and guess what? It's not you. So the lawgiver says to you and me today, in our marriages, in our lives, with all the people that are offending us, here's what he says to us. He says, let me tell you what, seven times in a day. And seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent. You shall forgive him. Let me tell you what, when God says you shall forgive him, it's not some kind of outward, it is a outward and an inward, I really forgive you. Let me give you one more story and I'll stop. Jesus, in trying to teach this, Jesus himself in trying to teach this, he gives a parable. And in this parable, here's what he says. He says, there was this guy, and he owed somebody, I've looked it up on the internet, it's somewhere around $1 trillion. Say $1 trillion. I mean, if you take into, inflation, it's about $1 trillion. And this guy says to him, he's going to throw him in jail. And he says, please forgive me, I'll pay you back. I mean, no, he can't pay him back $1 trillion. In a lifetime, there's no way that he can pay him back $1 trillion. He says, listen, please, please, please. The judge says, okay, you are forgiven. And he lets him out of jail, and he lets him out of jail with no obligation to pay him anything back. But then this person finds someone else. And it's interesting because the math, this other person owes him $1,000. Now, the reason why the $1,000 is significant, and this reason why I'm bringing it up, is because this. It's not $10. It's $1,000. It's a significant amount of money. What's my point? My point isn't to tell you that people haven't hurt you. My point is to tell you that in line with what God has forgiven us, how dare us, when God has forgiven us $1 trillion, how dare us not forgive somebody $1,000? And as if you didn't get the meaning of this story, Jesus at the end of this story, just to make sure you didn't misunderstand what he's saying. How many know in this story, it seems pretty obvious what he's saying. But Jesus, just to make sure there's no misunderstanding. And he said it back there, and now he's saying it to us today. He's saying, guys, I don't want you to misunderstand. I don't want you to take the society and what they think is, I'm offended, I have every right to be offended. Jesus says, you don't have every right to be offended. He says, after he's done with telling this parable, he says this. So my heavenly Father also will do to you. I love the words. How many know God is so clear in his communication? Will do to, listen to what he says, each of you. You know why I believe God said each of you? Because I think all of us think, that's good for the person sitting next to us. But you don't understand what I've gone through. You don't understand the hurt that I've... Pastor, I am justified. And God says, no, to each one of you. There is no one There is none of us who are can escape what God is saying. And listen what he says. Listen what he says. So my Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart, not some kind of lip service, but then still holding a grudge, from his heart, does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Man, I tell you what, that's straight up. How many have something on your cards? Here's what I want you to do. I want us, when we leave, there's two trash cans back there. I want you to take your card, and I want you to throw it away. I want you to crumble it up and say, in the name of Jesus, I cannot afford to be offended in my life anymore. Two great pictures I have. Guys, show me first the picture of the lemon tree. And I'll end with this. This is my lemon tree. And it's, can you see how many lemons it has? But do you see this right here? Do you see that right there? You know what that is? That's pieces of my Old Testament. That is this. This is my Bible today. Go to this next picture. So let me tell you what happened last night. Last night, I had my Bible. I like to study outside. I was going through my notes, going over what I wanted to share with you, just some last-minute preparation. And I had my Bible outside, and something was going on inside, and I went inside, and I left my Bible outside. And this is my dog, Ryder. And Ryder got into the Word. Amen. And let me tell you what happened. I wasn't mad. I was so mad. I was so mad. And then something happened, and the other dogs got out, and I put Ryder in our room. He's on our bed, and Ryder just thinks he's like just the little dogs. He just jumps up on the bed, and Ryder was just like that, and I was so mad at him. And then I thought, how stupid. You know, he didn't know. I'm going to be mad at him. I'm just asking, can we be at least as gracious to our boss and our spouse and our friends and our, can we be at least as gracious to people as we are to animals? But Pastor, they know. No, 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 no. That's Satan messing you up in your mind. You know, have you ever, here, let me just ask you this. Have you ever been driving and you cut somebody off, but you didn't see them, and they honk? You're like, ooh, I didn't mean to do that. Have you ever not meant to do it? Can I tell you what? Most people that offend you, they just don't know. And even if they're full of malice, they probably have no idea to the extent that it hurts you. Jesus said this. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't really know what they're doing. I cannot afford for anybody to offend me. You take those cards today and you don't throw them away. You crumple it up and don't just do it visually, but you do it internally. You do it from your heart with every head bowed and every eyes closed. We only have a couple of minutes left, but if you want to accept Jesus, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Yes, I see hands all over. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's ask Jesus in our heart. Can we do that? Jesus, come in my heart. Forgive me from the inside. Change me from the inside out. I need Jesus in my life. I want to make him the one who's in charge. Thank you for dying on the cross, for taking away all my sins. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, one more thing before we leave. If something that was said ministered to you, if the Holy Spirit spoke to you and said, you've held offense for way too long, and that way too long could even be one day, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you before we leave. All over. See the hands all over the place. Father, you see our hands up. We repent. Somebody say, I repent. I have thought wrong. Thank you for your word that has straightened me out. I just let it go. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen.